Last week, Kenny got up here with his audiovisual effects up here. I don't have any of that, but we listened to a song called "Slow Fade," I think it is, Kenny. And it's saying about a message that how we allow ourselves to slowly be dragged into sin. It's never yesterday we were serving God, and then tomorrow, well, all of a sudden we're in sin. It is a slow fade. Okay? You know what? When I think about it, I understand that God works really awesome, because neither Kenny or I got together and said, you know what, Kenny, we're going to get together and we're gonna pound on these guys and we're going to give them a message that they can't forget. He did his message, I did mine. Neither one of us collaborated together. But God is an awesome God. And our messages kind of melt together really well. Okay? Because while Kenny talked about the slow fade and how we slowly get dragged into sin, I'm going to talk one of those ways about how we let ourselves get dragged into sin because we buy into a lie. Okay? The passage that I'm going to talk about today is Romans 12. We're going to spend time in Romans 12. So you can open up your book, your Bible. Does anyone need a Bible? Kenny, can you get a Bible? Or Carol, one of y'all? The big guy in the red shirt. But Romans 12 has been a favorite of mine for a long time. Especially 12, 1 and 2. Okay? Let me read. We're going to read through the whole thing, but I just want to touch on verse 12, verse 1 and 2 first. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, nobody talks like that anymore. Okay? Nobody talks about giving your body over as a living sacrifice. A living, not a dead sacrifice. A living sacrifice. And the word reasonable to a lot of people might mean different things. But reasonable service just means, look, that's what's expected of you. Okay? It's what is expected of you. So when God tells us that we should give ourselves over to sacrifice, a living sacrifice to Him, then we need to understand that that's what we need to do. It's not something that God doesn't want anybody guilted into trip to serving Him. Okay? It's not about a guilt trip. It's about your reasonable service to Him. It's just what we should do. Okay? I have no intention of guilt tripping anyone into anything today. God doesn't want a guilty heart serving Him. He wants a grateful heart serving Him. Okay? And today what I'm going to talk about is service. Being a servant of God. Okay? And like I said, we allow ourselves to be lied to. And sometimes we even assist in the lie. And this lie is a two-part lie. Okay? The first part, I don't have time to serve. Because I have this other thing over here that I have to take care of. That I can't ignore. Okay? And the second part is, I've not been called to that. That's for the people that have been called to that. And I'm going to talk about this today. About how we allow ourselves to be lied to. And we buy into the lie and we assist our enemy in getting us caught up in that. And that allows us to slowly fade. The devil doesn't have to pound us. He doesn't have to beat us up with torment and torture. All he's got to do is get us going off on the wrong direction. When in navigation over the open water or even over land, okay, if you're 1 degree off, the further you keep going on that heading, you're going to end up miles, hundreds of miles away from your target. And in the open water, in the open water, that means life or death. Okay? And so all he's got to do is get you nudged in the wrong direction. And Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us that we're to be living sacrifices to God, that we are to give ourselves up to the Lord as sacrifices. Well, what does that mean? Okay? How does that look? All right? Well, I'm going to look at both parts of this lie, one individual part at a time. And I know I'm doing things a little bit different from Jeff with my computer up here and everything, but I have old eyes, or older eyes, and I can't hardly see. The first part, I don't have time to serve God. God has placed each and every one of us right where He wants us to be. That includes in our job, in our family, and in our church. And we cannot be effective for God unless we're serving in all of those areas. Okay? Matthew 23, verse 23. Jesus is actually rebuking the Pharaohs. He is actually rebuking the Pharisees when he tells to them, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe in mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith, that you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Now, God calls us to each one of these areas in our life. He put us exactly where we were supposed to be. The problem for most of us is we give God this little area and we pay this big attention over here and we leave this area undone. Okay? But we are called to do all of these things. Now, I understand that none of us are putting mint in the offering box. Okay? Half of us don't even know what cumin is. Okay? Ladies, you might know it's a spice. Okay? Us guys, whatever. All right? But none of us are doing that. But what God is talking about is your offering. And it could be any number of things. All right? But when we do that, we make ourselves feel good, okay, that we're doing this. And then we leave the really heavier things that God has called us to, we leave it undone. Okay? And we are all called to do these things. Okay? Now, God calls us to our families, okay? And Christians know that as fathers, husbands, wives, and mothers, we're to do everything we can to take care of our family, okay? That is important. That is very, very important, okay? We are to lay aside our own desires, and we are to give ourselves up as a sacrifice for our wives, our husbands, our children. Okay? And that is very important. We have to provide for our families as best we can. Okay? We lay ourselves down for that. Brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, it's the same way. Okay? Nobody in the family should be thinking of themselves. Now, what does that love look like? That unselfish love? Well, for homework, you can go to 1 Corinthians 13 and see what love looks like. Okay? I call it the love chapter. Alright? 1 Corinthians 13. It tells us what love, godly love is. Okay? And that tells us what we should look like to our families. We are called to love them. We are called to give sacrificial love to our families. But guys and gals, we can't neglect the rest of the calling that God has for us just to go for our families. Okay? If every one of us said, "I'm only going to take care of my own home. It's my job as a father to take care of my children, to provide for my wife and my children." Okay? which is good. Again, don't get me wrong. That is good. It's very good. All right? If I only did that, how would anybody else know about God? How would anybody else learn that there is a God out there? That there's a God out there that loves us and that cares for us. Yeah, your children will know. And their children will know. Because you pass it on to them that we should take care of our own home. Okay? But how is the rest of the world going to find out? If all we're worried about is those that of our own people that we're worried about and taking care of, how is everyone else going to find out about it? Okay? People miss out on this. It's called the Great Commission. And some of you already know where I'm going. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. The Great Commission. This is the Lord speaking now. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Great Commission. Go and baptize all nations. Not just your own house. Not just your own people. Baptize all nations. If we only do the things that God has called us in our own home, we are failing. Big time. Okay? This is actually the area where most of us fail. Most of us Christians, we can handle getting our own house together. And even sometimes we can't handle that. Okay? We can do that. Okay? We just can't, we've got to remember that God has called us to baptize all nations. Now, myself, that young man right there could tell you, I told my students, I don't expect to live past 50. Not that I think I'm going to die, okay? But I think the Lord's coming back. Okay? I'll be 47 at the end of this month. Okay? Why do I believe that? Because I looked at the world. And I see the world. I see what's going on around me. Okay? There's one person we're waiting for. Just one. That last person that gets introduced to Christ, and we get to go home. We get to go home and see our Lord. How do we know? We're those of us who are simply focused on teaching our family. How do we know we're not the one that's going to reach the one who gets us to heaven? Okay? We don't know that. Okay? We don't know. We get so wrapped up in taking care of the temporal, and that means the things on the earth, that we forget the eternal or the spiritual things that we have to take care of. Okay? Guys, our families, we think that just by putting food in their mouths, clothes on their backs, that we're taking care of them? Mm-mm. I'm sorry. If we neglect the weightier matter of the spiritual things for our family, we're doing them a disservice. I would rather spend the rest of my earthly life not having every one of my family members with me than spend eternity and knowing they're in hell. What's the trade-off? Eternity, a few short years. Even if I was to live to be 150. Okay? A few short years is nothing compared to eternity. If we exhibit the behavior to our children that only what's inside of our home counts, then who's going to go beat our missionaries? Who's going to take care of our church when we're gone? Okay? Who's going to be the ones who go out to the lost of the world and take care of the lost? If all we show our children is take care of your wife, take care of your children, and you're good. Who's going to reach the lost? Who's going to reach the and everybody does this all the time. What about the starving pygmies in Africa? What about them? You know? Who's going to reach those people if all we do is say our home only? And remember, I said this is the kind of stuff that leads us into the slow fade. Okay? When we start neglecting the heavier spiritual matters in our lives, this gets us to the point where we start letting things in our world, maybe not in our world, maybe not for us, but our children. Okay? If our children see that, well, they don't do that, and they don't do that, or they don't do that, then I'm okay. And what happens? Each generation, each succeeding generation, it gets harder and harder and harder for them to believe that there is a God. Okay? If we limit what we teach our children to only what we do inside of our own home and not reach out to the rest of the world, we're doing them a great disservice. Okay? A great disservice. Where we're only giving them part of the message. We need to reach to them and we need to tell them that there's more to it. Okay? So if we only live with that one part of our lives, we're robbing our children of the greatest joy that any one of us could ever have had, serving God. Now, I got a question for you guys. And you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to give me an amen. You don't have to answer to anyone but yourself. The last time you served God, what did you feel like in your heart? What do you feel like in here? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about searching for warm fuzzies. Okay? Because if you're going through life searching for warm fuzzies in your relationship with God, you're going to be very disappointed. Okay? Because it's not always warm fuzzies. There's oftentimes you're dealing with very difficult situations and you don't feel all warm and fuzzy inside. But I want you to think about the last time you did something for God, simply for God, and let me know how you feel. Well, you don't have to let me know. Just let yourself know how you feel, or you felt. Guys, when you do something, just based on my own experience, when you do something for the Lord, the warmth, the glow, the joy that you feel inside, it can't be explained. I started out finding this out as, an usher. Okay? I started getting an experience of it as an usher. Calvary Chapel, Oceanside, California. Okay? And I left from there. I came back to Louisiana. I couldn't find a Calvary Chapel. Went, because of my family life, I went back to California. And I went to Calvary Chapel, Modesto. Okay? And they called for a need to watch the parking lot. Okay? Just stand out there and watch the parking lot. I'm like, you know what? I can do that. You know? The Marine Corps taught me how to do that. I can stand and watch. Okay? I'm here to tell you that there was never a more blessed time in my life than standing out in that parking lot and learning and talking about God with my brothers in Christ. Now, was I doing a big service? No. But I tell you what, I learned that I wasn't alone in some of the things that I was feeling, some of the hurts that I was going through. I learned by serving with other Christians. Okay? You can't buy that in the pharmacy or on the street or in the bar. You can't. I tell my students all the time, if alcohol and drugs was the good thing, why do I have to keep going back? Why do I have to buy another beer? Buy more drugs? Because it's not the answer. But if you buy into serving God, I promise you that will never go away. The Holy Spirit will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus Christ will never leave you or forsake you. God will never leave you or forsake you. Okay? It is amazing. I can't even express how awesome and wonderful it is to serve God. Even just the little things. Just the little bitty things that we do. You know, we watch, and I don't want to call you out, but Jobeth up here, the talent that lady has in serving God. Jeff, Me and Kenny were talking earlier. He sits back here and plays the drum and sings. That's talent. I don't have that. I'm a prison singer. Behind a few bars and can't find the key. Okay? I can't sing worth a lick. Alright? But you hear me with my joyful noise in the back. Okay? So it's amazing to serve God. And the joy that you get, you can't express that. And you can't get that anywhere else. Okay? We were designed to serve God. We were created to serve God. For that relationship with God. There's no two ways about it. That's what we were created for. And we cannot get around it. And we're going to be miserable and suffering until we do serve God. But yet we buy into the lie. And the consequences are... we rob ourselves of the joy of serving God. We rob our children of the joy of serving God. I see it every day. I see the results of generation after generation slowly but surely moving away from God. I'm not saying that the parents of the kids these days don't know the Lord, because guys, I work in a Christian school. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean the other way either. But it does mean that most of them do know who God is. Okay? Most of them have a relationship with the Lord. Okay? But it also means that every time we compromise, every time we give in a little bit, that affects the next generation. It shows them that, you know, you can compromise here, you can compromise there. All right? The second part of the lie. Excuse me. Somebody's going off. I have not been called to that. Yes, you have. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yes, you have. Matthew 28:19-20 says you have been called to that. excuse me. Matthew 28:19-20 is for all Christians. It wasn't just for the disciples. It wasn't just for the first century Christians. It wasn't just for Jeff or Kenny or every pastor that you've ever known. Billy Graham, Jeff Laurie. Okay? It wasn't just those guys that were called to the ministry. It's every single Christian who's called to the ministry. Every single Christian has been called to that. Okay? To going out and serving. Now, how do I... what does it look like? Well, let's go back to Romans chapter 12. We're going to do verse 3 through 9. And then we'll talk about them. If I can see them. For I say, let me do it this way. For I say that through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. In proportion, our faith, our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Verse 3 is kind of harsh. Verse 3, in modern terms, says, get over yourself. Yourself doesn't count. Until we understand that, you can't serve God. Until we understand that mean doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Because once you become a Christian, you're taken care of. You've been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. And I dropped my marker, so it might take me a minute. Shouldn't, but it might. 1 Corinthians 6, well, I can turn around and read it. Verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Guys, that scripture says you belong to God. If you've called on the Lord as your Lord and Savior, you belong to God. He paid for you. When He paid for your sins on that cross, He bought you. He paid the price. I know it's not me. He paid the price. He gave everything so that you and I could sit in heaven and enjoy His presence. You don't belong to yourself anymore. Self has got to go away. And until you realize that, it makes it so much harder for you to serve God. Why? Because self wants to believe the lie. Self wants to believe, I don't have time. Self wants to believe, I've not been called to that. That's why it's so much harder to go out there and serve God in our relationships, because self gets in the way too much. Jesus Himself said, if you want to follow after Me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after Me daily. Not one time, daily. Every day you got to get up in the morning. 1,000 times a day you got to do it again and again. Deny self. Deny self, deny self, deny self. Over and over and over again. Excuse me. Now this is the key. The moment you understand that self has got to go away and I have to serve God, you're going to realize something. And Christian fathers and husbands in this room can tell you this. When I'm serving God, I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better brother. I'm a better wife. I'm a better mother. God, you can't be better than God. You can't be. It's impossible. If you are serving God the way He wants you to serve Him, you can't get any better than that. You can't. You're a better employee. I tell my son all the time, and most of y'all know my son. All of y'all know my son, except for a couple people. If you want to be the best employee that your employer has, do your job. You know, live for the Lord, because as a Christian, you're supposed to do your job. As a Christian, you're supposed to be honest and have integrity, be trustworthy. And that's all an employer asks of you. If you do that, you're going to be employee of the month every month. Because they don't find that in the world today. If you want to be a better employer, serve God. Serve God in your job, in your business. And I guarantee you, they won't be able to look past you. Because they'll see you and they'll say, man, what's so different about that person? Then you get to witness. Then you get to tell them what makes me who I am is my relationship with the Lord. What makes me the employee that you want is my relationship with the Lord. You have, and contrary to the lie that you don't have the time or the energy, you will have the energy. If you're serving God the right way, you're going to find the strength some way to do what God called you to do. Because God never gives us anything more than we can handle. Okay? Now, I was looking. There's a scripture that says He'll never give you any more temptation that you can handle. But it didn't quite fit into I don't want to bend Scripture. Okay? I don't want to bend Scripture to make it say what I'm saying. It was dealing with temptation. Okay? But He still won't give you more than you can handle. He's not going to put more in your life than what you are able to take care of. I think there's a song, "You Must Think More of Me Than I Do Because of What You've Given Me." Okay? Part of the lyrics of it is that, says that. God must think very highly of us, because we sometimes think like, "Oh my Lord, what is it that you've put in my life? I can't handle this." But God's like, "Yeah, you can. If you couldn't handle it, I wouldn't put it in your world. Okay? If you weren't strong enough, I wouldn't put it in your world." Alright? So you'll find that you do have the time and you do have the energy. Well, how do I know what I'm called to do? There are so many things that you can do in ministry and in serving the church. Guys, there's just no excuse not to. There is no excuse not to serve God. Verse 4 and 5. It talks about some of the things that God calls service. "For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another." Now, we are one body. We are the body of Christ. And we don't all have the same job, but we all have a job. Okay? So, how many of us think that... How many of us think that any part of our body being missing, we can function perfectly? You can't. It's called handicap for a reason. Okay? It's because when our body doesn't function the way God had created it for, and that's sin that does that. Not an individual sin, but original sin. Adam's sin is what causes our bodies to be not what it was made to be. Okay? And it doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean anything other than, you know, when the body is not functioning the way it should, if any one part of the body is not acting the way it should, the whole body is going to be affected. Okay? If the body at Grace Chapel is not acting the way it should, then the whole body of Christ throughout the world, throughout the country and the world, is not functioning the way it should. Okay? John Wayne would say he got a little hitch in his giddy-up, right? It means that it's just not functioning the way it should. And so if any one member of the body of Christ is not doing what it should be doing, I mean, is it any wonder God has not called us home? Because so many people are neglecting the weightier matters. So many people are saying, "All right, Jeff has got that, I'm good. I'm gonna come to church, listen on Sunday, and I'll meet them again next Sunday." And we never take a part in what God has for us here. Now, who is that robbing? Is it robbing the church? Yes. But who is it robbing even more? Me, you. Because you get deprived, you get robbed of the grace and the mercy that God has for us. 6-9, verses 6-9. Excuse me. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." And prophecy just simply means speaking the word of God. Speaking forth the word of God. Doesn't mean, the Super Bowl winner will be the Saints. No, that's not what it means. Although it might be this year. No. That's not what it means. American Pharoah will win the Triple Crown. That's not what it means. Prophecy simply means speaking forth God's word. And so when we speak forth God's word, we're prophesying. And Paul is telling us through the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit through Paul, that if you have that gift to speak forth God's word, use it. If you don't use it, you're hurting yourself, and you're making the body of Christ not work the way it should. If ministry, let us use it in our ministering. What is ministry? Ministry is simply serving others. Okay? Yes, what Jeff does here on Sunday mornings is ministry. What the Sunday school teachers do in the back on Sunday mornings is ministry. Of course. But that's not it. That's not just what it is. Okay? It is a phone call with somebody to see how they're doing. A shoulder to lean on when somebody's in trouble. An ear to bend when somebody's in trouble. A meal. A ride to church or the grocery store when somebody's in need. Okay? That's all ministry. Ministry is just simply serving others. Okay? And we all can do it. Every single one of us can do that. Now, am I saying that everybody's called to come up here and teach on Sunday for Jeff? I'm telling you right here that God uses me to do some of this stuff is amazing. Okay? It's simply amazing. Because, anyway, that's a longer story than we need to get into. Teaching. Showing others about God. Is teaching what I do Monday through Friday? Yes. Okay? But it's more than that. Okay? You teach the people in your home. That's where it starts. You teach the people in your workplace about God and His Word. You teach the people on the highways about love and patience. I'm really bad at that, by the way. Okay? I am really bad. Alright? I drove on California's highway for nearly 20 years. And look, I didn't have the patience or the temperament to do it. Okay? I've called many a people idiot that I shouldn't have called idiot. Okay? And I'm sure I've been called idiot by a lot of people too. Okay? But we should show patience. We should show God's love when we're out there on the highway. Nothing takes more, brings more laughter than some bumper sticker reading that I'm a Christian and them cutting you off and flipping you off. Okay? You're like, that people just laugh because it makes Christianity a joke because we do that kind of stuff. So we teach others about God's Word, about how His love, and about being unselfish and showing Him who God is. The next one, I'm sorry, let me go ahead and read them all. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Exhortation. Boy, that is in short supply these days. People are so willing to cut people down. They are that quick to cut you down. How often do people really lift each other up? How often do you hear somebody saying, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Come over here. Let's talk about this. Let me lift you up. Almost every single day of my life, I hear somebody ragging or cutting down somebody else. That's not exhortation. That's cutting them down. You're hurting other people that way. Giving. This is the taboo these days. I'm not just talking about money. All I'm going to say about giving money is, as God leads you, give. Then give a little bit more and see how that works out for you. Okay? Just give. Nobody is telling you you got to go out there and give 90% of your money. Okay? What I want to focus on is time. Giving of time. If you have time to watch a movie, take in a ball game, go fishing, I know, that's sacrilege. You have time to serve the body of Christ. Now, I'm not saying you can't do those things. I'm not saying those things are evil. What I'm saying is those things should not take the place of serving God. If you're not serving God in any way, shape, or form, and you're doing those on a regular basis, you got to do a little self-check. a little reboot, and see where you are in life. See what you're doing in life. How? What am I doing here? Okay. Am I really serving God? Am I really doing what God wants me to do? God's not going to rob you. He's not going to take all your money and your time and not give you blessings in return. Okay? What will it look like in a church that's giving? In a church that's truly serving God? Romans, the rest of Romans. Let me go ahead and read it. Romans 12, I'm sorry. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in trouble, in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All of these things that we just talked, that I just read about, are what a church should look like, a body of Christ should look like. Affectionate toward one another. No infighting. No gossiping. No look at what they're doing or not doing. Having love for each other. Let that be our witness to the world. When people walk into Grace Chapel of Houma, let them see love. Let them, I joke all the time, you walk into this door right here, you're going to get mugged. Okay? Especially when Sam's here. Sam is going to mug you, and he's going to hug you. Okay? But hey, he's showing the love of Christ, and he's doing it out of a heart for God. That's what we should look like. That's what we should look like as a church. Okay? Give way to the needs of others. Again, that selfishness goes away. When you move yourself out of the way and you do for others, the world can't replace that. They can't mimic it. Are there people out there to give to charity? Yeah. For a tax write-off. Okay? Show me the billionaires that are given millions and billions of dollars and not using it as a tax write-off. That's not what God says in the Bible, in the Word. If you do these deeds for a reward from men, there you go. You got it. There's no reward up there for you. You got your reward. You got it. That's what you did it for? You got it. Got your tax break. Got your name on the 6 o'clock news. Okay? If that's what you do it for, there you go. But if you do it for me, and if you don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, I'll reward you. I'll give to you. And what I give to you is going to far outweigh what you got on earth. Joy and hope, patient in tribulation, steadfast in prayer. Look, I'm going to tell you, the patient in tribulation thing, that's pretty hard. That is pretty hard. It's easy to joy and hope, right? Yeah, it's great. You have hope? Ah, yeah, right, wonderful. Patient in tribulation, the steadfast in prayer thing, I couldn't live without it. I couldn't live without it. I could not live without prayer. If I didn't have the Lord to turn to, there is no way I'd be able to survive. At all. Seeing to the needs of others. Again, you put away selfishness, and you see the needs of others. You welcome others into our lives. And I'm going to brag a little bit about Grace Chapel. Okay? Many times, people have come to this church, new people, people just walking in off the street. And when you talk to them at a later date, the one thing they always say, I feel welcome here. From the moment I walked into the door, I feel welcome here. Okay? Even people that don't come back, you know, they say the same thing when you meet them out in town. Man, I really loved it over there. We made you feel welcome. That's the church. That's what we should do as a church. Okay? I'm not standing up here saying Grace Chapel is missing all this stuff. What I'm saying is a lot of us are missing out on this stuff. Okay? excuse me. Rejoicing together. That's the easy part. I can rejoice at any time. I can be happy. Okay? The weeping together. That's another. Yeah, I can cry with somebody. Okay? Sharing one another's burdens. That's a hard one. Man, I got enough on my own. Then go out there and be dealing with yours. But that's what God has called us to do. That's what we should be doing as a church. Is sharing one another's burdens. Being there for one another. Again, having that shoulder to lean on. Okay? Going in the same direction. Being of one mind. How many churches, again, you don't have to raise your hand or do anything kind of to recognize this or call yourself out, but anybody in here ever know of a church that was broken up because people wanted to go in different directions? I do. I know of a couple. Okay? Being of one mind. This. Going through this. Finding out what God's Word says. Do it. That's all we need to do. And if we want to have an agenda of anything else, then again, is it self or is it God leading us down that road? Okay? If it's God leading us down that road, all of us will be down that road. Every single one of us who is a part of this body will be going down that road. That's if God wants us to go down there. If it's us, then we need to really think about what we're doing. And if it's God that's doing that. Showing the world that we are God's children by showing Him, by living it out, God's principles. Don't be vengeful. Be humble. And what really, I'm going to go back a little bit. This scripture has really stuck with me for a long time. Verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as depends on you. How many of us get offended when somebody calls us something that they get on our nerves? They do something that, you know, as much as depends on you, meaning you got control of your own emotions. You have control of your own actions. You have control. You take care. You act peaceably. Let them do whatever they're going to do. Don't overcome the world using their methods. Don't overcome the world with evil. Or don't be overcome with evil. Serve the way God tells us to serve. Live the way God tells us to live. And let God handle the rest. Now, we're a small church. I've been here 8 years. We've stayed a small church. Okay? And as Jeff is fond of saying, I'm not looking for quantity. I'm looking for quality of believers in this church. And I agree with him 100%. Could we change some things up and make it more seeker friendly? Of course. But I'll be honest with you, that's not the Calvary Chapel way of doing things. The Calvary Chapel way of doing things is go through this word, verse by verse, teach it what it says and what it's telling us to do, and try to live by it. no flashy, you know, dramatizations up here. Okay? Guest speakers every other day. No changing the teachings to meet the times. If the scripture happens to cover it, it covers it. And trust me, the scripture covers it. It doesn't matter where you are in it. It's going to cover what's going on today. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay? So the scripture is going to cover it. We don't have to adjust to them. The world is the world. We don't have to be like them. Okay? We don't have to start giving a touchy-feely message every Sunday and get people in here who like to hear that I'm okay. I'm living with someone, but I'm okay. Okay? I'm having an affair, or, you know, I'm cheating on my wife or my husband. I'm okay. Because the pastor said I'm okay. He's got 20,000 members. He said I'm okay. I must be okay. All right? That's not what we need to be. We need the truth. And when you walk into the doors, you need the truth. You don't need to hear some line about how great you are. Okay? You need to hear what God says about our lives. And that's why I love the way we do things, but the way Calvary Chapel, Grace Chapel, does things. The only way to overcome that evil is with God's goodness. The only way you're going to overcome evil in the world is through God. And I hate to see what this world is going to be like when the Holy Spirit is removed during tribulation. Now, notice, all of these things in Romans 12 have one base requirement. We act as one body. We have to act as one body. Nobody can survive if one part is dead. Okay? We see with a person who has a stroke, only one side of his body is not functioning. The other side functions well. But when that one side does not function, they can't function. Okay? Your speech goes away. Your mobility goes away. All these things are taken from you when just part of the body is taken from you. Okay? So if any one part of the body ceases to function, the whole thing ceases to function. And in some cases, will soon die. This applies to the body of Christ as well. Okay? Excuse me. If we as a body, Grace Chapel, buy into the lie that I wasn't called to that, or I don't have time for that, Grace Chapel is going to die. Okay? Now don't get me wrong. There are people in this church who are going to serve, who are going to see to it that doesn't happen. They're going to work themselves to death to see to it that this church doesn't die. But there's a problem. They're going to die. What about the next generation? Who's going to do it later? Who's going to do it after they're gone? Who's going to be there to do this after they're gone? Okay? We must begin to show that next generation by our actions, not just our words, that serving God is a blessing, not a drag on our lives. Going to church, a blessing, not a burden. Serving God, a blessing, not a burden. Being with believers, a blessing, not a burden. Living the godly way, a blessing, not a burden. Okay? If we don't do that, if we don't begin to teach these other people, the children, that serving God is worth more than anything else, the church is going to die. It's going to eventually die. We complain as a church, what's happening in our country today? Well, it's because everybody has stood on the side and said, I don't have time for that. I wasn't called to that. That's not my business. Okay? So we have to do something. Okay? We have to do something. Let's stand. Now, I love each and every member of this body. My challenge to myself and to everyone else is to serve the body of Christ by serving this body. We can't let the enemy win in Houma. We can't let the enemy win in our lives, in our little circles. Okay? We are a small body of believers, but we can make a huge impact. Okay? 12, 13 guys flip the world upside down. Okay? The whole world. All of time is now based off of their time period. Okay? Regardless of how the world wants to change things, all of time is now based off of that time period. Because it affected the world so much. We have to pass that legacy on to our children. Don't think that our kids are stupid. Our kids are smart. And if they see us doing something, they're going to mimic it. So what do we want them to do? Do we want them to serve God? Or do we want them to say, okay, well, that's more important, so we're going to do that. Okay? It's up to us. Okay? Big thing here. No person, no body of Christ should ever lack for servants. Every Christian, every person that has called on the name of Christ for salvation should be knocking down the pastor's door to serve. He should not be looking for people to serve. Shouldn't happen. In any body of Christ, not just Grace Chapel, in any body of Christ. But I've been in several of them where they had to make announcements. We need people. I've been in a church with over 1,000 members that needed people to serve. Let us be an example. And let us, those people who walk through that door, let them find us diligently serving God in our church. Let us take care of this church, and the rest of it's going to follow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you, for the grace you've given us to use us as your servants. Father, I pray that each and every one of us will dedicate ourselves to serving you in whatever way that we can, Lord. Little bitty things here and there every day to glorify your name. Father, I pray that you touch each heart here today. That as we walk away from this service today, Lord, that we will think about your message, we will think about your word and what it says, and that we will find a way to serve you. We'll find a way to be there for others. God, I pray for protection as everyone leaves here today, Lord. And I pray that if there's anyone here today that has not accepted you as Lord and Savior, that they would find the strength to hear you, that you would open their hearts to hear that their need for salvation, that they need you, as Lord and Savior. And then from that point on, Lord, that let them focus on being your servant in whatever way that you call them, Lord. We thank you for this day. We pray for safety for our pastor and his wife and for Raj and Lena as they're traveling back from overseas, Lord. And just be with us until we come back together with you next week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.